After graduating from the journalism program here at UTC, Billy Weeks began his career at the Chattanooga Times as a photographer. Later on, he was made the photography editor for the Chattanooga Times. He worked there from 1984 until 1999, when the Chattanooga Times merged with the Chattanooga News Free Press to become the Chattanooga Times Free Press. At that point, Billy Weeks was made director of photography for the combined newspapers. He left the Chattanooga Times Free Press in 2010. These days, he works as a freelance photographer, or perhaps, as he was quick to point out, as a storyteller. In his mind, he's a journalist using a camera rather than a pen.
I'm really not so much of a photographer. I'm more of a journalist than I am a photographer. And my whole reason for using a camera is to tell stories and to document things that I think are important. That's far different than a photographer. Photographer is interested in making beautiful images. Not all of my images are beautiful images. Some of my images are very hard to look at. Some of my images, you look at them and there's a lot of contrast or a lot of visual stress in those pictures. As a viewer, when you look at an image that's got visual stress, it presents a lot of questions. You know, why is that happening? Who is that person that's in that photo? Where was that picture made? So you intrigue that viewer into being interested in your subject. That's not being a photographer at all. Being a photographer is often taking a landscape and making it beautiful. You can also intrigue with that landscape, but it's really, they're really great at technical skills. I really want to be good at social skills. That's really what the most important part of that is for me.
Do you feel the need to sort of add text and explain what's in the image?
Well, as a journalist, working in the journalist environment, I always thought that stories with written words and photographs together told a more complete story. And I was fortunate enough to get to work with a lot of great writers. And I always felt like, when you worked as a team, you were better.
Given his background and his approach to the work, it's probably not surprising that Billy Weeks should be particularly fascinated by Robert Franks' photographs. Robert Franks was born in Switzerland. He came to the United States in the mid-1940s, and he worked for a time for the New York Times. In the mid-1950s, he was awarded a grant by the Guggenheim Foundation to travel around the country photographing, as Billy Weeks put it, what he saw. However, unlike Billy Weeks, he didn't feel the need to explain his pictures. He made a huge number of photographs, over 27,000 images, according to Mr. Weeks, but he didn't add any text to the pictures to give them any context or to give the viewer any background. So when Billy Weeks saw a photograph of an interracial couple in downtown Chattanooga in 1955, he was intrigued.
It's a couple standing on the side of the road, and it's shot with a very narrow depth, which means they are in focus, and then the background is not in focus. And you can see people walking in the background. I'm not 100% sure where this photograph was made, but I think it was made on Market Street. It's kind of the way it looks. I would very much like to find these people and talk to them and interview them at some point, but I don't know who they are. They look like they may be in their late 20s, maybe early 20s.
One of the striking things about that is that everybody's walking away from them. There's nobody walking toward them. Even though they're on the street, it seems odd, that they're the only ones walking in that direction. But that was obviously deliberate on his part, apparently.
Well, I think
to frame it that way.
Yeah, I think you're probably correct. I do think he probably saw it that way. As typically happens with photographers, to be a successful photograph, you want to simplify the background, which is, in this case, he did that by the depth in the picture or the focus in the photo. So the focus is really tight, sharp. The couple are the main subjects of the picture, and then the background's really soft and out of focus. And it's right; all the movement in the picture is away from our subjects, and it does make it interesting. And also, the couple, at least one of them is looking off. It's a really interesting moment in this picture, and it just brings a lot of questions. I want to know who these people are, why they're there. I want to know why they're dressed the way they are. The couple is a man and a woman, and the man has his arm around her, and it just brings more questions. And I just want to know more about them. You know, I'm not 100% sure this is an interracial couple, but they kind of have that look. He has that look.
What would the attitude be toward an interracial couple in that period in time?
I think it probably wouldn't be accepted everywhere during the mid-50s. This photograph was made in 1955.
So are they taking a risk just being out in public like that and obviously, you know, showing affection towards each other?
From the looks of this photo, it doesn't look like they're taking a risk. I mean, they look comfortable in this picture. But from what we've read about 1955, and I wasn't here in 55, we assume that that wouldn't have been acceptable.
Well, your mom and dad were, right?
My mom and dad were around, but
have you talked to them about it?
Not about this photo. My dad's not here anymore, but... My mom wouldn't, she wouldn't comment on this.
I guess a lot of people are uncomfortable with that reality, huh? the way things were back then.
Well, I think so. And also I think that was one of the goals of Mr. Frank's work as he traveled across the country. Because in the book, The Americans, there's example after example. One of his most famous images was out of New Orleans, and it was a trolley. And the trolley had mixed race looking out the window. It's an amazing image. But, you know, he went after, you know, the everyday, and he went after things that, that you saw the stress in, that you saw maybe issues that needed to be dealt with. You see that in his work. And I think the photograph from Chattanooga is another example of that.
So he was photographing with an agenda.
I think most good documentary photographers, they have an agenda. They have a project or a subject or something that they're working on, something that needs to be addressed.
While the photograph itself raises innumerable questions, it seems to me there's also the question of Robert Frank's method. While it's true he wasn't fluent in English and so may be forgiven for being shy about talking to the people he photographed, nevertheless, there's still the issue of their right to privacy.
I always tell young photographers when I'm talking to them about photographs is that that subject's just as much a part of that photograph as the photographer is, and I think it's important that you have some sort of a relationship with that person when you're making that photograph. Sometimes that relationship is in body language, where you walk up with a camera and they see you with a camera, they acknowledge the camera. But they don't do anything body language-wise that changes that. And then you have to have a verbal conversation. You know, you got to get cut line information. That's the way I would have approached that because I look at that and I say, it's such a shame. I don't know who these people are in Mr. Frank's photographs. But the other side to that, and many, very successful photographers have done this, like Walker Evans, they would hide cameras in their coats and take pictures of people on the subway or walk around and just do snapshots. That's not for me. It is for some people. Some people celebrate that, but I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure that's fair.
But then again, I guess there's always that concern with the Hawthorne effect, right? Where just by virtue of you being there, you're not capturing the reality that would have occurred had you not been there.
The photographer basically becomes a part of the moment at that point. In Robert Frank's case, he shot most of his work with wide-angle lenses. So he was very close to these people most of the time. And that's kind of true in my work, too. I tend to use two kinds of lenses, a very wide-angle lens, which is, very intimate in composition and in subject matter. And then I'll use a long telephoto lens, but rarely do I use a long telephoto lens to photograph people. I do some, but I like for my subjects to know that I'm there and what I'm doing. I think it's important that they know. You know, it's very humbling to be able to tell somebody else's story with a camera, and they're not obligated to let me there at all. And when they do, I want to celebrate that moment.
And you also have to establish trust with them. Right?
You have
that you're going to be fair.
You have to establish trust immediately.
Yeah. You're thinking he took that with a wide-angle lens?
No, I think this was a longer telephoto lens, but I don't think he was very far from them.
Do you think they were aware of him?
I think, I don't really know. I mean, I would like to say that they were aware of him, but, you know, I also kind of probably think that they just looked at him as a guy with a camera and probably didn't think much about it.
Right. Probably didn't think that he was photographing them.
Probably have no idea that their picture has hung in many major museums and been published in many, many, many books. Probably have no idea that that image has been published or has hung in MoMA, has hung in the Chicago Institute of Art, San Francisco museums. Probably have no idea. And I would love to talk to them about it.
If you'd like to see the picture, it's on our website. And you can see many of Billy Weeks' remarkable photographs on his website, billyweeks.com. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.